Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we were talking about the way that Christians should treat those around them, both Christians and non-Christians alike. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
But do you realize Jesus even said something that correlates here with verse 14 of our text in Matthew 5:44-48? He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, loving an enemy, blessing somebody that's cursing you, doing good to somebody that hates you, praying for somebody that's despitefully using you and persecuting you. Well, that's what the Lord says to do. Those are the weapons that He's given us to use in this warfare. He says, verse 45 of Matthew 5, "that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if we love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what be ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect." Now, if I was going to try to put all those verses in a capsule, it would come right back down here to what we see in verse 15 here of our text of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And that is simply not rendering evil for evil. Now, when one does evil toward us, we are placed in a position of opportunity in God's sight to exercise these graces by His Spirit in us, who is greater than he that is in the world. And my friend, it will be hard, but not impossible. Now, the trouble is, a lot of us can come very close in church, but then miss it a mile in our home. You see, the turn the other cheek policy is absent first in the home. When someone does us injury, we're not justified in returning it. Now, again, I'm not talking about somebody murdered your child or somebody stole your car, and you say, "Well, no, I can't turn them in because I wouldn't be justified to do that." No, there are things of breaking the law and all that we're to help the law. No, those are things. These are common sense things. But when people have gossiped about us and said things about us and things of that nature, then we're not justified in returning it. It takes grace to return good for evil. Believers are saved by grace. And the grace that saves us teaches us to live godly in this present world. Now, again, this is our outward look as we live in this present world. This is what the world should see. They should see that we don't render evil for evil. They should see that we warn them that are unruly and comfort the feeble-minded, that we support the weak, and that we're patient towards all men. They should see that in us. That's part of the outward look that we are to have. Now, a believer brings reproach upon the name of Christ, as well as the local church, and for that matter, as well as discrediting his Christian testimony when he returns evil for evil, wrong for wrong, dirt for dirt. Now, my friend, take Philippians 4:13 to heart. There we're told, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So, as you have this great trial, and a trial where you've been unjustly accused, you've been lied about, and the Lord said that these are things that can lead to a great reward in heaven in Matthew 5:10-12. So see, that trial is an opportunity to have God's almighty strength manifested through you, especially in the area of patient love. And now he finishes out verse 15 by saying, "But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." We who name the name of Jesus can prove to the world that Jesus is everything the Bible says he is and more. How? By living consecrated, faithful, dedicated, holy lives. Lives that are permeated by the love of God and filled to overflowing. My friend, the greatest need in the average church and in the life of the average Christian is not better education from the secular standpoint, but a thorough baptism in the love, the holiness, and the knowledge of God. We should pray that God would fill us so that we would know how to bless others, that the outward look of our lives would honor Christ. And it can be that way because we can do all things through Christ. And so when he says there, "Follow that which is good," it has the idea of that which is benevolent good. It is among yourselves first. Look to needs in your own local church first. But then it adds, to all men, and to all men. Galatians 6:10 puts it this way, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially," giving priority to, looking earnestly to, "especially to them who are of the household of faith, our fellow believers in Christ in our local church." Now, these should be fruits of the Christian life. These are fruits that people should see. But let me also caution, these are fruits. They're a result of being saved, but these things do not save. You see, only Jesus Christ saves. Every man born into this world must see himself as a hell-bound sinner who deserves that burning lake of fire. Now, my friend, whether we realize it or not, hell is a real place, and it is forever. Those who go there do not cease to exist, and they never escape. But you must see also that God wants to keep you from there. He shed his blood in order that he might wash your sin away. But you must want him to do that. He did all the work. Yours is simply to receive it. And how do you do that? By repentance and faith. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 says, "Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." What must you do to know that you're going to heaven? Admit that you are a sinner. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. Now, friend, that includes me, but that also includes you. The next step is to be willing to turn from sin. That is, repent. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says it this way, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world." The word repent means to change the mind, to turn around. When you're repenting, you're turning to Jesus Christ and you're turning from your sin. You say, "But Brother Andy, that sin has a hold of me." You turn to Jesus Christ with a willing heart for him to take your sin away. And if you're going to turn to Jesus Christ, but you don't want him to take your sin away, he's not going to save you. Until you're willing for him to take your sin away, then, my friend, all you can have is religion, but not salvation. Be willing for him to take your sin away. That's what repentance is about. And then believing that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross and died for your sin, and that 3 days later he rose up from the dead, receive him as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. My friend, the belief in Christ is a heart belief. You see, when you're coming to Christ, you're not just believing that He shed His blood for your sins on the cross and rose from the dead. You're trusting Him with your life. That's what it means when He says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation." No, you're not being asked to become a preacher, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon. You're being asked to give your life to Christ, whether you're a surgeon or common laborer. You're just going to let God do what He wants to do with your life. You're just going to be obedient to Him. And so, you're inviting Him in to be your Lord and Savior. He'll be your Father who corrects. He'll be your Father who encourages. Through prayer, invite Him into your life as your Savior. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, wouldn't you like to know that if you die today that heaven's your home? He said to him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll save you right now. I'm going to form a prayer in just a moment, asking the Lord for salvation. The words that I pray will only be words if a person prays them and doesn't mean them. However, if you mean this and you really want God to save you, then pray this prayer that I'm about to pray aloud. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His precious blood on the cross and died for my sins. I believe that 3 days later, He rose up from the dead. I right now invite Jesus Christ into my heart, my life, as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you just asked the Lord to save you, would you write us and let us know? I have a booklet titled Building Blocks that I want to send to you. It's a booklet of 10 chapters. It has 7 questions at the end of each chapter. These questions will go back over what you've just done. It tells you what your next step is. It'll teach you things about Bible doctrine, about church, about how to pray, about how to witness, tell you doctrine. For example, one chapter deals with separation. Another chapter deals with prophecy. And I want you to have that so that you may get established in this new faith. And then secondly, I would ask that if you are already saved, but you'd like to use the booklet and you will use it to edify others, you'll try to disciple others, then you write and ask me for the booklet, and I'll send it to you absolutely free. We want you to have it, because we want to see people grow in Christ. Well, I see that my time is up, and I want to thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light broadcast. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.